Jacob Zuma had a deadline of 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon to file an affidavit in response to a request from the Constitutional Court to argue in mitigation of sentence. He wrote a 21-page letter saying, "I'm not going to do that. I am ready to be a prisoner of the court. I am acting according to my conscience because I am not being treated according to the way the Constitution was designed. I'm being denied constitutional rights. The Constitutional Court is being used by Deputy Chief Justice Zondo to get the goal that he wants, and so he's essentially forcing justices who are junior to him on the Constitutional Court to follow his rulings, and these are political gimmicks, and watch out," he said, "watch out." Again, it's this warning that people are going to rise up and sweep away the current judicial system, which serves the interests of the powerful and the moneyed, and they will replace it with a judicial system which looks after the interests of poor, misunderstood individuals like me, Jacob Zuma. Professor Richard Calland, constitutional law professor at UCT. Richard, good afternoon. What do you make of the letter?
Good afternoon, John. Well, on one level, I prefer not to make anything of it because it's such a pile of errant nonsense. It's so incoherent that any attempt to analyze it, and I've seen various sort of attempts on social media and elsewhere to sort of dignify it with analysis. It doesn't deserve analysis because it is such an outrageous set of unfounded allegations. It's such a kind of pathetic, actually, attempt to sway public opinion in his favor, to create a political crisis out of his own legal dilemma, which is entirely of his own making. He put himself in this position. He is solely responsible for the predicament he now faces. And yet he is not man enough, not big enough to accept that.
The thing is, he doesn't care about what Richard Calland and John Matham and other people in the commentariat, however intelligent they might be in your case and loud and inarticulate as they are in mine, he doesn't care about what we think. He cares about a group of people that he thinks is bigger than I think they are. And he's accepted that he has no chance of winning any of these legal battles. So his only hope is to fight a political battle.
Well, that's right. I think for several weeks, if not several months now, that has been the switch in his strategy. After, 15, 16 or more years of legal Stalingrad strategy, he's really run out of legal options now. He's at the end of the runway. And therefore, you're right, he's switched his strategy towards a political one. But I think he overestimates the support that he has in the country. He may have a small band of very ardent loyalists, but they're, I think, small in number and small in political power, frankly. And I think back to Masaryk and the ANC conference, 3 more years ago, his speech as the outgoing president. I remember it very well because no one was listening. It was not only boring, it was just, it was a lame duck president who had lost the dressing room, to use a sporting analogy, where his own party was no longer paying any attention to. And I think, therefore, his party had moved on. They have their own problems with other characters, some of whom were associated with him. And, of course, that RET faction lives on. It's part of his legacy, unfortunately. But he himself does not, I think, command that level of support. Having said that, John, of course, this week, which has been a big political news and legal news week, even by South Africa standards, there was the extraordinary leaked recording of Jesse Duarte's contribution to a top six discussion on this matter. And it shows, unfortunately, that Zuma's point of view has found at least some favor in that top six, at least with that one individual, the Deputy Secretary General of the ANC, and that she was putting the case for Zuma, in a sense, in that quorum, saying we've got to find a political solution. Probably no surprise there, John, because Duarte has always put the ANC above anything else, I think, including the Constitution. And that came out from that particular recording, did it not?
Which he now accuses Ace Magashule of having put into the public domain. You don't think then, Richard, that there's going to be any significant or lasting dent to the standing of the judiciary as a consequence of Jacob Zuma's ongoing attempts to delegitimize it?
Well, clearly the judiciary is having to once again and it started, of course, 3 or 4 years ago when Zuma was president, having to withstand an attempt to delegitimize it. It's having to once again prove that it is individually and collectively resilient. And it's very unfortunate that that's the case. But I believe once again that the judiciary will pass that litmus test, that it is strong enough individually and collectively to do so. And that, in the end, will be to South Africa's advantage. It will prove once again that the rule of law here is strong, the Constitution is more than a piece of paper, and that it can withstand political attack and assault.
And now the Constitutional Court has to decide whether, for the first time, to act as a court of first instance and sentence somebody to a custodial sentence or a fine or a combination of both. The Zondo Commission has asked for 2 years to send the strongest possible signal. And again, I think it must be a very, very difficult decision for the Constitutional Court judges to decide, what do we do? Do we go 6 months? Do we go a year? Do we go 2 years and suspend a year? Actually, under the Commission's Act, a two-year sentence is ridiculously inappropriate, and we are going to give a one-year sentence, suspended for 6 months, on condition that ex-President Zuma appears before the Zondo Commission. What do you think their best options are likely to be?
I don't know, John. It's difficult. And I think they are in an awkward position, but they will do their duty under the law. I think that's very, very clear. The fact that they're in an awkward position is not of their own making. Some people have argued. They, I think, were perfectly entitled to take this case on. It was them who had declared that Jacob Zuma should appear in front of the commission, the Zondo Commission. He chose not to. He stuck his middle finger up at the commission. He continued to try and delegitimize it and the court. And so they've got really little choice. As to the specific sentence they passed, yes, it's awkward. I'm not sure what factors they will take into account. I think the fact that Zuma has continued to try and attack their legitimacy and make unfounded allegations against them is hardly going to work in his favor. But they'll also be, I think, mindful of his attempt to martyr himself. And they may feel that a lesser sentence will reduce the chances of that kind of playbook, that political scenario playing out. That may be part of their thinking. It's an unprecedented situation, John. They don't have anything to fall back on in terms of previous cases. This is entirely new ground, of course. So it is an awkward situation. If there was any suggestion, any hint that Zuma would, if given a suspended sentence, actually go and appear in front of the Zondo Commission, if there was any chance of that, then I think that would be the obvious kind of compromise to say, OK, suspended sentence, one last chance, go appear in front of Zondo as we have ordered, give your evidence there, give the country and the Zondo Commission the benefit of your version of events, and then you don't need to go to prison. You will in fact not have committed the contempt. You will have solved the problem. But there's absolutely no evidence that he will do that. On the contrary, he's made it clear that he won't appear in front of Zondo. So what then does the Constitutional Court do? Lie over? Lie down? No. I think they have to take a principled position on this.
Professor Richard Callan, thank you so much indeed. Constitutional law professor at UCT.